Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Oh, look who came. Awesome. Welcome to Wednesday night service. Thank you for coming out and feeding people, if you help fed people, and working in the kitchen over there and coming out, staying for service and listening to the Word of God. Do y'all like my sermon title? That's not PC. That's not PC, you know, man, this whole PC thing, you know, I was born in 1971, and, you know, that's a long time ago. We used to say whatever we wanted to say, and we did whatever we wanted to, do, and, you know, now, you know, we can't have Columbus Day, right? You know, they're changing the name of Columbus Day, and that's fine. Listen, I don't care, whatever you think, right? They wanted to change President's Day. You know, George Washington owned slaves, so they wanted to change that. You know, President's Day. You know, there's so many words now you can't say, right? Man, there's just so many words you can't say. I actually was having a conversation with this woman, and she was, and I don't even know what to say, she was crippled in her legs. Well, when I was a kid growing up, crippled meant you couldn't walk with your legs. You were lame in your legs, right? And you said crippled, and she said, well, you can't call me crippled. It's not PC. It's not polite. And I was like, oh my gosh, am I just ignorant? Am I dumb? Or, you know, like all this stuff that we can't do or say anymore to, you know, is we're going to offend everybody, right? Well, I decided I'm going to change what PC means. So it will no longer be known as politically correct. It's going to be known as pleasing Christ.
All right.
Galatians 1:10 says, am I now trying to win the favor and approval of men or of God? Yes. Or am I seeking to please someone? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as trying to please people. I'm not here to please you tonight. I'm here to please God, but to please God who examines our hearts. So we're going to explore tonight, what is PC? What is pleasing Christ? What does it mean to please Christ? Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him, right? We want lives that are pleasing to God, do we not? We want to live lives that please him, right? This means that we will bring him pleasure, that he delights in our ways. Do you not want God to be pleased with you? To be pleased in how we walk, to be pleased in how we live out our life, right? We want him, as much as we delight in him, all my delight is in you, Lord, we want him to delight in us, his people who are called by his name. So, what things are PC? The first one I came up with is faithfulness. Faithfulness is PC. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Revelation 2:10 says, do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil's about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. But be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. God is telling us to be faithful unto death. Matthew 24:13 and Matthew 10:22 says the same thing. It says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. It means, but he who is faithful to Christ till the end shall be saved. Till the end of what? Till the end of your life. This is the end we're talking about. Not my end, because my end may not be your end. To your end, he says, be faithful and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful to your end and I will give you a crown of life. The word faithful and faith are interchangeable. It's from the same Greek word. And it's really interesting because this same Greek word is the same word that describes Jesus as the faithful and true. So what is described of Jesus, he's saying the same thing to us. He says, I was faithful to you to complete my mission to you. I want you to be faithful to me. I want you to be faithful to me. That pleases Christ. I read this quote. It says, I cannot brag of my faithfulness to Christ, but I can brag of his faithfulness to me. And I think that's a great saying. And I understand what the guy is. I understand what the guy is trying to say, but that's not biblically correct. God's calling us to be faithful to him as a groom and a bride. Faithful, meaning loyal, constant, staunch, steadfast, resolute, firm in adherence to whatever one owes allegiance. Faithful implies unswerving adherence to a person or thing or to the oath or promise by which a tie was contracted. We are in a contract with the Lord. We are in a covenant with him. He holds us accountable to our words. He wants us to be faithful to the end. As followers of Christ, he was faithful to his end. We must be imitators of him. What's said of Christ should be said of his followers. He was faithful to accomplish the task that was set before him, was he not? And so he says, you must be faithful to accomplish the task I have set before you. We must be faithful to the end. There's no prize for quitting. No prize for quitting. And I'm not standing here saying I'm the shining example of faithfulness. See, I've failed. I've fallen short. I've been disobedient. I've went around the same mountain more times than I can count in my life. But I love him and I'm faithful to my commitment to him. I am faithful to my commitment to him to the end. I made up my mind. I made up my mind 20 years ago when I made a commitment to him, when I said, Lord, I want everything that you have. I want your faith. I want your grace. I want your love. I want your blood. And he said, fine, Crystal, I'll give you everything. Now give me everything you have. It's not necessarily a one-for-one exchange. I think I got the better end of the deal. But I made a commitment to him. Just like in my marriage, I made a commitment at the altar to my husband. And you know what? We don't use the word divorce in our house. It's not allowed. We don't even speak of it. We don't throw it around. We don't use that term at all because we're committed to work through anything that comes our way. And you know what that entails? It entails faithfulness. And I am faithful to my groom, as he is faithful to me. At the altar, I said, I would give my heart to no other. Did you notice the songs we sang tonight? Jesus, you have my heart. We're not supposed to give our heart to another. We're not supposed to give our heart to another. You have to guard your heart. See, adultery doesn't just happen. You don't just fall out of love with somebody and fall into bed with somebody else. It's a slow progression of things because you started to allow things and people to come into your marriage. You allowed ideas to come into your marriage. You know how strong an idea is? Someone gets an idea in their marriage about something and it runs rampant. I was just thinking about this today. I used to watch my neighbor's kids long time ago and she calls me up and she's like, Crystal, man, my daughter got head lice. And I was like, what? Oh my gosh. I went through my whole house. I mean, I cleaned everything. I took off everything, cleaned every pillow and blanket and clothes. And I shampooed everybody's hair, you know, made Matt shave his hair again. You know, I did everything. And that night, I'm laying in bed and ask him. I woke up staunch out of a sleep. I'm like, honey, I got lice. And I'm sitting here like this. And I'm in the mirror. And I'm all, look, do I got lice? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. He's like, honey, go to bed. You don't have lice. But a single thought they got in your head and you run with it. And that's all it takes. Spiritual adultery doesn't just happen overnight. It happens over time. You allow things of the world to come in. You allow this to come in and that to come in and this person to come in. Next thing you know, you're over here, way far away from your first love. You're not being faithful. You may fall again. Get up and keep going. You may fail again. Get up and keep going. You may sin again. Get up and keep going. You may be persecuted and suffer beyond measure, but guess what? Get up, keep going. Quitting is not an option. It's not an option. I have a good friend of ours, and some of y'all know Evan Godsiff. He runs marathons. You know, he ran the Boston Marathon. Okay, that's serious marathon running business. He ran the Boston Marathon. Well, he was telling me, I saw this, he had a scrapbook of his marathons, and I saw his first marathon he ever ran, and he was crawling across the finish line. And I said, Evan, what happened? And he said, sister, man, as I'm running my race, he said, every time I went to a water stop, instead of drinking the water to replenish my system that was losing the water, he said, I toss it on my head. And he said, he got within eye distance of the finish line and his body collapsed, his muscles collapsed on him because there was no water in his muscles, right? He just collapsed. And he said, but I wasn't going to not finish. I wasn't going to not finish. And he crawled across the finish line. Whatever it takes, you don't quit. I don't care if you're weary. Crawl across that finish line. You got to crawl across that finish line. In what ways are we to be faithful? Revelation 3:8 says, I know your deeds. See, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut, for you have little power. But you have kept my word and have not denied my name. We have to be faithful to keep his word. This is PC. We have to be faithful to keep his word. Listen, give heed to it, obey it. And the problem with most Christians is that they don't know his word in order to keep his word. They know some Facebook meme of his word. I see those all the, you know, some of those stuff is good, but I'm like, that is not the word of God. That is not God's word. And people read it and they're like, oh, this is so good. This, and I'm like, that's great, but why don't you read God's word? Why don't you find out what God says? Not what somebody else says about what God says. Find out what God says. How do you obey God's word? How do you keep his word if you don't know his word? You can't. You got to know his word. You got to be in the word of God, reading it, devouring it. This is the bread. His words are life. You got to be in it. I know I harp on this all the time, don't I? See, my Bible study ladies all know that too, because I'm like, Bible, read, word. Get it in here so it can get in here. Faithful to keep his word. How do you claim to have faith in Christ and be faithful to him with no sincere devotion to obey him or his word? Right? How do you claim to have faith in Christ and to be faithful to him with no sincere devotion to obey him and his word? Faith confesses Jesus as Lord, but also obeys him. Jesus as Savior, but obeys him as Lord. What's interesting, in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to our Savior 16 times. Guess how many times he's referred to our Lord? A whole lot more. 450 times. That's a lot more times. There's something about that. Right? He is Lord. He is Lord. True faith always manifests itself in obedience to God. In obedience to his word. It's the James 2, 14 through 16, right? That faith without works is dead faith. And he's not just talking about good deeds. He says, you know, yes, feed your brother if you see him destitute. But he was also talking about Abraham that sacrificed his son when God told him to. Obedient, just obey. It's just obedience, whether it's in service or deeds or whatever God asks you to do. He says, just obey me in that. Just obey me in that. Because faith is active and enduring. It's an active faith. Faithfulness is active. It's not passive. It's not passive. Faith without works is dead faith, and works without faith are dead works. You can't say you love Jesus without obeying him, right? But then you can't do all these things that he asks you to do if you don't really love him. That's what he's saying. You got to have both together. The second part of that, faithful to his word, you have to be faithful to his name. Faithful to his name. What does this mean? It's faithful to honor his name, not smear it. Faithful to honor his name. You know, and honor is not a word we hear very much. Do your actions and words reflect that you honor Jesus? Do your actions and words reflect that you honor Jesus? Right? To honor, respect that is given to someone who is admired, a good reputation, good quality or character as judged by other people, high moral standards of behavior. Right? The Bible says, for husband and wife, it says, husbands love your wives, wives honor your husbands. Wives honor your husbands. See, women, we can respect our husband and honor him and lift him up and respect him, or you can be as rottenness in his bones, it says. Right? And so the name of Jesus, he says, don't deny my name. He says, do you honor me? Are you honoring my name? Are you honoring my name in your works? Are you honoring my name when you walk about your day? When you talk? Your conversations? How are we talking about him? How, not just about him, when we call ourselves a Christian, we have taken on his name. So when we're walking it out, how are we smearing his name? Or are we bringing honor to his name? Right? Are we smearing it or being honor to it? Jesus was faithful to finish the work he began in you. And you must be faithful to finish your race. Pastor Jay talked about this last week. He said, run your race. You're not running somebody else's race. So that's why I say faithful to your end. Be faithful to the things that God has asked you to do. Stop comparing yourself. Stop looking at other people at what they're doing and saying, oh, what are they doing? What are they doing? What are they doing? Why am I not doing that? Don't worry about that. It doesn't matter. God's asked you to be faithful to do what he's asked you to do. I got to be faithful to the job he's asked me to do. You got to be faithful to the job you ask you to do. Because I am not going to stand before him on the day of judgment and answer for you. And you're not going to answer for me. He's going to say, did you do what I asked you to do? Were you faithful to the end of what I asked you to do? That's what he's going to say. Faithful to walk out your calling to the end. Faithful to him to the end. What else is PC? Sanctification. Sanctification is PC. What do I mean? Sanctification is the act of making holy. It's set apart as sacred. It is consecrated. It's to purify or free from sin. It's a process of cleansing us of our sin, setting us apart from the world for God. Consecration. Separation. Sanctification. This pleases Christ. Romans 8:8 says, those who are in the flesh, living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses, cannot please God. He said, those people that live according to their fleshly wants and fleshly desires cannot please God. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1-8 says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Huh? Not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but rejects God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. So he says, when we reject the process of sanctification the Holy Spirit's trying to do in our lives to purify us, if we reject that, we're rejecting God. Because the Holy Spirit's trying to purify us and sanctify us and set us apart from everything else. We are a peculiar people. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to look and act differently than the world. That is sanctification. We're separated from the things of the world. We're supposed to look and act differently. Now he points out sexual immorality right now. He's pointing out sexual immorality because, folks, not all sin is the same. It's the same in that it can be forgiven. Every sin can be forgiven. But he says sexual sin is a sin against your own body. It's a sin against the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you rob another of their purity before God. And it's a shame that I even have to say this nowadays, but sexual immorality includes any sex that's outside of the marriage covenant between a man and a woman. Any sex outside of the marriage covenant between a man and a woman is sexual immorality. That's what that is. And he said, abstain from it. Because I'm trying to purify you, a holy people, in sanctification and honor for my holy purposes. He's trying to do something in us. In Romans chapter 7, and people like to quote this all the time, where Paul said, I do that which I don't want to do, and that which I want to do, I don't do, right? And the whole, let me tell you, Romans chapter 7 is about a man trying to follow the law without the Spirit. That's what it means. So when you read that, it's what Paul's talking about, an unregenerated person that's trying to follow the law of God without the Holy Spirit in his life. And he said, I can't do it. I can't overcome this sin. I can't. But then Romans chapter 8 is all about life in the Spirit. And so he says, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So he says, when we walk according to the Spirit, we have victory over sin, over every sin. We are free from sin. We have victory over it in the name of Jesus Christ. We have spiritual life. We have fellowship with God through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we can overcome all things. So this whole thing of, well, I'm just a human and I'm going to have to sin as long as I live here on earth is a lie. And the church has believed that lie. And they're like, well, I have to sin. I'm human. Well, no, you don't. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're born of that holy seed. It said you're born again of the sperm of God. And you have a new DNA. You're born again of the Holy Spirit, and he said you can walk in victory over sin. Yes. Amen. Amen. That is victory, folks. That is true freedom. And that is sanctification through the power of the Holy Spirit, and this is PC. Now, what is not PC? Fear of man. Fear of man. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in and puts his confidence in the Lord will be exalted and safe." Matthew 10:28 says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather be afraid of him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." John 12:42-43 says, "Nevertheless, many of the leading men believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess it for fear that they would be excommunicated from the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men more than the approval of God." The fear of man brings a snare. Revelation 21:7-8 says, "He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the fearful and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and sorcerers, idolaters, occultists, and all liars have their place in the lake of fire," which is the second death. The fearful are included in that. Because we allow the fear of man to dictate what we do. Are you motivated by the approval of men or by the approval of God? Do you seek to please men or to please God? Do you fear the rejection of men? Do you care more about what people think than about what God thinks? A fear of man, a fear of what man thinks, will cause you to forsake God and his ways. Happened time and time again in Scripture. A fear of man leads to compromise. Matthew 10 says, "If you are ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. But if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven." Here's what Jesus is saying, folks. He says, if you really want to follow me, there's no such thing as walking the fence. You're either for me or you're against me. You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. You are either an asset or you are a liability. You either gather with me or you scatter. It is black and white. It's black and white, folks. The fear of man will cause you to deny God's word and his ways. And this is what happens when you fear something or someone, you allow that to control you. You're allowing that to control you. Their opinions, or even possible opinions, attitudes, withholding of love, these things become your master. It becomes your master. The fear of man can be a hindrance to evangelism as well as any area of lingering sin in our lives. Because we care too much about what people think about us. We care too much about being rejected. We care too much about their approval. The fear of man is when you think you need something to live, to be happy, fulfilled, etc. And then you wonder if you don't get it. Listen to this, for instance, okay? If you need comfort, you'll fear physical pain. If you need comfort, you're going to fear physical pain. If you need approval from others, you'll fear being criticized. If you need love, you'll fear rejection. If you need admiration for attractiveness, you'll fear getting fat. It's the little things, right? In all of these things, we're supposed to fear God only. We're only supposed to have a fear of God. That's it. We're not supposed to fear devils. We're not supposed to fear man. Right? But humans, folks, come on. We care too much about what people think about us. I can't wear that. What will someone say? I can't do my hair like that. What will people say? Oh my gosh, what are they going to say if I actually say that I love Jesus? What are they going to say if I read my Bible at lunchtime? What do they say if I play Christian music? Right? Because we fear rejection. We want people's approval. I don't know anybody that doesn't want people to like them. And y'all are all looking at me like, huh, what are you talking about? I don't know anybody, myself included, that doesn't want people to like me. You know? And so we work at making people like us. Well, don't say this and don't do that and don't go here and don't do that. Do this, do that, go here, right? We do all these things trying to get people's approval. Trying to get someone to love us. Man, in a lost world where love is dim, people are looking for love all over the place and they will do anything for love. They will do anything for love. How do you decipher this fear of man? Ask yourself, are you overcommitted? Is it hard for you to say no, even when wisdom indicates you should? It's that people pleaser type. Are you overcommitted? Can you say no to people even when wisdom says you need to say no? Because it's okay to say no. You have to say no for your own sanity sometimes. You cannot do everything. You cannot be all things to all people. You have to say no sometimes. Are you overcommitted? Are you a people pleaser? Is self-esteem a critical concern for you? Does your life revolve around what others think of you? These are questions you got to ask yourself. Because these can be hindrances to us, okay? You fear man if you are unwilling to confess sin to others for accountability because you don't want to feel shamed in their eyes. Do you fear that? Do you fear having someone to be accountable to that you can share your innermost sins with? You can say, man, pray for me with this. Are you always second-guessing decisions based on what others think? Right? We do that in our family all the time, make a decision, and they're like, well, that's not good for me. And so you go busy in yourself trying to fix everything around. And I'm like, this is the date I set it on and the time. If you can't make it, tough. Yeah. Amen. Are you always second-guessing decisions based on what others think? Do you get easily embarrassed? Do you get easily embarrassed? Do you ever lie? Even white lies. White lies. There's no such thing as a white lie. Lying and other forms of living in the dark are usually ways to make ourselves look better before others. Lying's a way to make ourselves look better. Right? Think about all these magazines with like health and dedicated to impressing others, right? All of this, we diet and exercise sometimes just in order to impress others. It's not really about trying to make us feel better about ourselves and feel good. We're trying to impress somebody else. That's people pleasing. If you don't deal with these sins biblically, they will soon dominate you. It will be your people idol. Your idol of people pleasing and people worshiping will soon own and dominate you. That's what it boils down to. So I ask you, are you PC? Are your actions PC? Are your words PC? Are your Facebook posts PC? Come on, somebody. Are your conversations at home, at work, at church, are they PC? Everywhere you go, right? Are you living a life that's pleasing to Christ? Faithfulness. Folks, He's not expecting us to be perfect. He just wants our heart in faithfulness. He wants us to seek Him, to seek His face, to know Him better, to be in His presence, to be in His Word, so that He will fill us and we can in turn pour out of that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, well, I know, we're going to stand up. We're going to stand up. I was thinking about something else. Yeah. You are fun. Oh, thank you, Russ. Look at some music. All right. Thank you, Lord. You know, I do want you to take a minute and think about this word, though, okay? Please, take a minute. Folks, it doesn't do you any good if you just hear it and you don't apply it to your life. If you don't apply it, if it doesn't change anything, it doesn't do us any good. It's just empty words. If you haven't been faithful in the area, just tell him. Just say, Lord, I haven't been faithful here. Please forgive me. Help me get back on track. That's all he wants. If he hasn't been first, just put him first again. Rearrange your day to put him first. Rearrange your time to put his word first. If there's any areas that you find yourself trying to please people, just ask God to ask him to take that out of you. Say, Lord, help me to see that and to conquer that in the name of Jesus, and he will give you strength to overcome that. He will give you strength to conquer that. Father, I thank you for this word, Lord. I thank you for this people here tonight, God. Father, and I pray that we can all, Lord, be people that live our lives to please you, God. And that we don't worry about what others think, God. We're not living for the approval of men, but we are living for your approval, God. And it doesn't matter what our lives look like to others. It only matters what our lives look like to you, God. Father, we thank you for that, God. I thank you for this word, Lord. Let it just go down deep into my spirit, Father. And that we would walk it out, Father, in the name of Jesus. Give us strength, Father. Walk out. Walk it out to the end of all of our days, God. To walk it out in faithfulness, Father. To stay on the path you have for us, Lord. Father God, I just ask you, give us a safe journey home and bring us back here next time, Father. And we just thank you for this time we come together, Lord, to praise your name, Father. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Get your kids.